Is the term witness also a legal term in classical Greek?
Witness translates the classical Greek term martis. This is a literal translation from Greek. Okay, eyewitness of Toptis Martis. He sees something, he learns something that he can transmit. And let me add something in this regard. Do you know Christ? He was the first Martis, and it's called in the Revelation Martismo, about Christ. Why he is called Martis? From where it comes, this this definition of Christ as a martis? Because we read in the Gospel of John that what he saw and what he heard, he witnesses for that exactly. Tafta martiri. A eoraken ke a ikusen tafta martiri. Ke idhamen oti e martiria aftu alithis. And we know that his witness is true. So Christ, the first witness, because he bear witness to what he experienced, to what he saw as the only begotten Son who is always in the bosom of the Father, we say in English, bosom of the Father. So he's par excellence the excellent martyrs. And who else is called martyr in the gospel according to John? John, but who's John? Who's John? The Baptist. And also John himself at the end. But John the Baptist is not called the Baptist in the gospel according to John. He is the martyr. He is the witness. His main contribution is to witness for Christ that he is the Lamb of God who will suffer. So this is a term which is loaded with a lot of theological meaning, to be a martyr. And as I said, it's a Christian legacy given to the whole world.
So fathers, if you have a question, please come to the microphone.
The question doesn't need to be related to the subject of martyrdom. It can be related to anything that we have heard and or that you wish to discuss in the coming days. Father.
Good evening, Father. Such a great blessing to have you, and thank you for this marvelous presentation. When Father Michel was introducing you, he was speaking about your dissertation and the subject of justification in St. Paul. We who live in the West and are surrounded by so many Western Christians, Catholic and Protestant, who have very distinct views of justification in conflict with each other, are really thirsty for unique, authentic, orthodox contributions to understanding that word. I'm wondering if you could speak just a little bit about it, and if there's any hope of getting your work into, or maybe it already is in Western languages, and if so, if you could let us know how we can get them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said before, Father, I will give one session to talk about the St. Paul's teaching about justification by faith and reconciliation by faith, and at the same time to learn from the interpretation of St. John Chrysostomus. So it will be a modern interpretation, a modern approach, exegetical approach, but comparative with the commentary of St. John Chrysostomus. And you were absolutely right when we talked about the importance to learn the Orthodox understanding of this very important issue that was in the second millennium the number one controversy in Christianity. So it's very important to learn about it. And sadly, I would say that a lot of inaccuracy is said about the Orthodox contribution, as if during 1,000 years, all the fathers of the church didn't understand the teaching of St. Paul. We read this in different books. I'm sure you met this before. I can mention, for example, a German book of Ulrich Wilkens. He says, Greek fathers failed to understand the teaching about righteousness outside the spectrum of justitia distributiva, they said. Only they summarized 1,000 years in one sentence, they failed. They didn't understand this. That's it. And I have other examples also in English saying similar things. But in the last 5-6 years, I found a book mentioning opinions of church fathers. For the first time in Western languages, I found a book mentioning opinions of the church fathers. It's called, it's a collective work called Justification. 5 authors from different confessions contributed to talk about justification. So, and Luther himself, who I'm sure that he read thoroughly St. John Chrysostom. I'm quite sure that he studied the commentary of St. John Chrysostom. Although he didn't like him, but he learned a lot of St. John Chrysostom in the place. Luther himself says, who is St. John Chrysostom? He's a bubbler, idiot bubbler. That's not correct. That's not true. That's not true. We will see if he was a bubbler, or I'm sorry to use this word, idiot bubbler. We will see if he was or not. How could St. John Chrysostom be like he's describing him when Luther and Calvin owe the slogan sola fide to St. John Chrysostom? Luther recognized that St. Paul never used sola fide, only by faith. He said, I learned it from my own experience. Paul says, by faith. Luther added, only by faith, sola fide. But he said, this is from my own experience, I learned it. But St. John Chrysostom used this 3 times, only by faith. He was the first one to use it, and 3 times. So it's unjust to describe him as a bad interpreter of St. Paul or something similar. How can we describe the one, St. John Chrysostom, who said that this righteousness, it's not yours because you acquired it not by sweat and hard labor. You took it as a gift, free gift from God, giving from your own only faith. How can we describe that he failed to understand the teaching about justification as a gift from God? So it would be helpful also to read together the Pauline text and the interpretation of St. John Chrysostom to understand our own Orthodox position.
Abuna, thank you. So Father Michel shared with us some very interesting information about you, that you converted from the Melkite Church to the Orthodox Church. And it's very interesting because you don't often hear about conversion in Lebanon and Syria, because it's something that's not, it's, I don't know if it's correct to say frowned upon, but people like to, they don't like to talk about converting. Maybe you could share with us a little bit more about this process for you.
Yes. Actually, Father Michel asked me if he can share this. I said, of course. But let me tell you something. I don't like to separate converts and non-converts. This is not fair. This is not fair, not in Lebanon nor in America. You can use this term for the first 5 months. but later, it's not fair. So someone who accepted the Orthodox faith before 20 years, he is now a convert, and someone who get baptized before 5 years is not a convert. That's not fair. And it's not biblical also, because St. Paul stresses that in Jesus Christ, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no man, no woman. You are one in Jesus Christ. So how can we now give names and give, so how to say, categories, put in categories the faithful? This is not Christian, I think so. But I can tell you a little bit of my experience, of course. I was 17 years old, and I was born in a region where the Orthodox, at that time, Metropolitan Euthymius, made the movement of units, and at the end of the 17th century started. And because the Metropolitan was the leader of that movement, of course, most of the area of Sidon and Tyre became units. Melkai, this is a new term, very new term. They found it and they were happy to use it later. I was raised there, and I loved the gospel, faith, and church fathers before knowing that there's something Orthodox and something is now Catholic. Before knowing that, I was reading church fathers, and then I met some friends when I was 17 years old in 86. We were forced to leave our area and to come to Beirut during the civil war in Lebanon. For 4 years, we were outside our villages for 4 years. And there I met young people, young Orthodox people committed to their church. And we start to meet together, to read, to pray together, and to sing in churches. And I started to learn about Orthodox saints and Orthodox fathers. And didn't take me a lot of time to understand that all this movement was made up just to weaken the Church of the East, let me say, the Orthodox Church, to weaken it. And I didn't identify myself with the whole games that were played at the end of the 17th century, beginning of the 18th century. And I met Metropolitan George Khudor many times. And when he asked me, "You have to be Orthodox," I said, "I don't have any problem." He said, "This Sunday, I will make you Orthodox." And said, "Okay, I'm ready for that." And I became Orthodox. And since then, he told me, "But you look, you don't have to take communion in any Catholic church," which I observed till now. And I didn't study immediately theology. I finished my high school studies. I went to college. I studied business marketing. I finished like a maîtrise in business marketing and started to work for 3 years. And in parallel, I was working in the church with the youth in Ras Beirut, Church of Ras Beirut, other parishes. And then they told me, "You have to study theology." And I was working in a bank and an insurance company. But they asked me, you like to teach theology. Why don't you study theology?" And this is what I needed, someone to tell me, "Study theology," to give me a push to take the decision. And thank God, I made this decision, and I joined the Faculty of Theology in Balamand when I was 25 years old. And this is a normal thing. This is a normal thing that we are members in the church that observes the witness to the Bible, the witness to the truth, gospel truth, the witness to the non-interrupted witness of the church throughout ages. This is very normal. We don't want to proud ourselves of any human organization or fellowship. We can be proud only of our God. And if we are really and indeed members of his body, the church.
Thank you. Very nice presentation. Following up on your comments about martyria as witness, Father Michel and I worked long and hard on this when we published our book through your seminary at Balamand on the scriptural books. And we have in the appendix there all the Old Testament readings read at Vespers of the Eve of Feasts, and you'll notice the first, Isaiah 43, seven times witness, martyr, four martyrs. So it's a nice underscoring of your point, your main point. In the literal sense, exactly. I'd like to follow up with a question that, to follow up what Father Josiah posed to you regarding your work on justification. I'd like to ask if you approve of this idea that I have, in brief, you can comment at length or short if you think. But I've always thought that Gerechtigkeit, in the German sense, is colored so strongly by that Germanic cultural idea behind it that they simply cannot see the patristic understanding, which is why Luther was blind in the first place to what Chrysostomos taught. And it was always a problem for the Protestants because they never had justificatio properly shown them in the ethos of the church.
Yeah.
So maybe you could comment on that?
Yes. Actually, Gerechtigkeit and Rechtfertigung were an essay to render the different Greek terms dikaiosi and dikaiosyne. And each one has some connotations, sometimes the same connotation and sometimes different connotation. So they were essaying to render these terms. But the Latin justitia maybe was the root of the mistaken interpretation in Western scholarship, St. Anselm and other bishops and scholars who talked about justification. Maybe the Latin term was the problem. But even in Greek, the word dikaiosyne has also both meanings. So it's originally it has the meaning of justice, but in the Septuagint, in translating the term tzedakat Yahweh, they used this term and they gave it a further dimension, a spiritual dimension or a theological dimension, which is the forgiveness of sins. When someone is rendered dikaios, tzaddik in front of God. But still, the term can be misunderstood, could be misunderstood if someone was not well informed about the Hebrew background, the Old Testament background of the term, can misunderstand it, right, Father? And even now, today we were singing in Greek, also in Arabic, the same in Arabic, the same mistake is made in Arabic. We were singing in English today. The apolitikion of the presentation of Christ, the temple, we said, you were singing the son of justice. This is a great mistake. In Arabic, we say the same, Shams al-Adl, son of justice. No, it is. He is the son of righteousness. Shams al-Birr, it should be, not justice. O'ilios dhikiosinis, because dhikiosini, righteousness, shines from Christ. So he is the son of righteousness. When we say son of justice, we don't help the parishioners, the believers, to understand the deep meaning of that term. So it's always misunderstood. It needs interpretation, correct interpretation. Are you satisfied, Father?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Father Jack, this name dear to my heart because I once knew another priest named Father Jack, and he was a brilliant academic like yourself. Father John Finley, thank you for being with us. Since we're doing the word study on martyrios, I'm wondering if you can help me with a passage of scripture and the meaning of this. The First John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If you could help us to understand the witness.
The meaning of witness, not textual criticism, only the meaning of witness. What does mean witness here? Okay. I mentioned maybe in my presentation that God or Christ is witness and God is witness because he is the one who confirms something. God confirms something. God is the one who declares, teach something to people. So he is, can be a witness. When talking about the water and
the Spirit, the water and the
water. The Spirit and water. He is referring to the sacraments, the mysterion, referring to baptism and to the work of the Holy Spirit that we learn through baptism in water and the Spirit, John 3:8. We learn through receiving the Holy Spirit from Christ when he gave the Holy Spirit to his disciples. We learn from Eucharist, the truth of Christ's proclamation. So the sacraments are not only celebration, they are proclamation of the gospel. Christ said, when you eat my body and you drink my blood, you will be informed about my death. Until I come, right? Excuse my English now, translation, very bad English translation. You proclaim, exactly. So the mysterion, the sacrament, is a witness to the deed of God. But let me tell you something, a joke. When I was invited to teach in Cambridge, the principal at that time, Professor David Frost, he said to me, it's impossible to write your name Jack. It's impossible. I said, but this is how it's written on my passport. He said, no, it's a joke. It's funny. I will write it in French. G-A-C-Q-U-A-S. An Orthodox Archimandrite called Jack, that's absurd. Thank you so much. Thank you, Reminence.